We are so glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We want you to connect with us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And we are being joined by Bill Ingram. He is the senior NBA writer with USA Today and Hoops World. Go to hoopsworld.com. I definitely want you, since we're in the Eastern Conference right now, we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, weigh in on Jason Kidd and just, you know, what his approach has been in terms of being a head coach. Obviously, they reassigned or dumped Lawrence Frank earlier this week.
Yeah, well, can we talk about the drink spilling?
Okay, all right. I was going to avoid that, but since you're bringing it up, go ahead, Bill.
Well, I mean, you can't avoid that because this is who Jason Kidd was as a player. He had little crafty things he would do to save a possession or to get an extra timeout. You know, he would do things that you, as a player, you would just think, wow, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. He thought to do that. Wow. He ran into a ref, and that caused, I mean, things that he would do as a player that would impact the game. But now that he's a coach, it's a very different sort of thing. Those kinds of antics are not the way you win basketball games. And I think part of the problem is, and this is part of the problems with the Nets as a team as well, is that you've taken a guy who was on the court last year and you've put him in as a head coach. And the guy you gave him as his sort of mentor is Lawrence Frank, who has been fired from every other coaching. He's never had success. So, you know, that's a very tall order to put a guy who was a player last year. I don't care. Yeah, Jason Kidd's one of the great floor leaders of all time. There's no question about that. But leading the game on the court with the ball in your hands is a lot different from leading the game from the sidelines.
Bill, I have to let me jump in here. I mean,
the expectation of being a championship team, and you don't have a great coaching staff. I'm talking about, where's his time with George Karl? Where's his time, you know, like, you have to, all these guys, Mark Jackson, the young coaches who come up, Avery Johnson, who had to earn their head coaching seat by spending some time as an assistant and learning that side of the game. And I think what we're seeing is Jason Kidd didn't have that time.
Yeah, and he certainly has to be able to build and make his own identity as a head coach. Quickly, are the players, the veteran players, Kevin Garnett, Jason Terry, these guys, are they willing to be patient with Jason?
Well, I think the fact that they're friends, you know, Jason Terry and Jason Kidd won the championship together.
Yeah, but how do you get them to play hard, though, when they're your friends?
Yeah, I mean, that's the challenge. Well, first of all, you don't have to get Jason Terry to play hard. You don't have to get Kevin Garnett. That's an advantage the kid has, is he's got a lineup of veterans who know that you have to play hard. That's not the issue. I think the issue is, like, Jet's shot hasn't been falling. That's not. I'll tell you this: Jason Terry's working out. He's working on his shot. But you get to a certain point in your career, and this is why the Mavericks didn't want to invest a whole bunch of money in some of those older players, is because you get to a point in your career where you can't do it anymore. And, you know, as much as, you know, I'm sure Kevin Garnett's not taking any days off, but Kevin Garnett can't do it anymore. You know, Paul Pierce isn't taking any days off. The question is, how much can Paul Pierce really still do on the court? You know, and that's the issue. I don't think J. Kidd has any problem getting those guys to work hard for him, and I think they're going to have faith in him and want to help him, because some of the guys, you know, whether they've known him as a teammate, whether it's been with the NBA, whether they've worked with them in Team USA, I mean, he's got great relationships with those players, and they're great veterans. But having, you know, working hard and that sort of thing does not substitute having a couple of guys who are still in their primes who deliver in the clutch, and that's what they don't have.
We are hooping it up, talking some NBA at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are so glad you're along with us on this Friday night. So let's step back and let's start compare and contrast, looking at the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference. How big of a surprise is it to see the type of disparity? I mean, the Pacers, the Heat, they're strong, they're steady, the top two teams in the NBA. But when you start comparing, I mean, there is no comparison.
No, there really isn't, because you have a couple different things that have happened. Number one, we've seen a concentration of guys who were the franchise players for other teams who are on the same team now. So like Miami, you've got three franchise players. So where Cleveland used to be a contender and Toronto had a chance to be a playoff team and the Miami Heat were good, well, now you've taken LeBron James out of Cleveland. That makes them a lottery team. You've taken Chris Bosh out of Toronto. That makes them a lottery team. You put them in Miami where they already had a franchise player. And so now you've left two teams decimated to make one really good team. Then you have management. You have some, you know, you've got guys poor drafting. When you talk about Cleveland, when you talk about Anthony Bennett, you talk about Deion Waiters. This is a team that paid the dues of losing and wound up with high draft picks and then used them in ways that are not paying off. So that's an issue. But we've also seen a lot of the, some of the good players from the East have moved West, and they're making the West more competitive. You know, Dwight Howard, Orlando was in the finals, and they were always a playoff team, and then Dwight Howard moves West. Guess what? Now Orlando's a lottery team. So a little bit of a migration of players from East to West. Then you've got the concentration of talent in just a few cities. You know, I mean, even Boston, even last year, they were more competitive, and if Rondo's healthy, it's a different team. But you've taken away Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, and they're rebuilding. So the concentration of players, some of the migration, and then, two, you know, poor drafting, and, like, when you look at the New York Knicks, what's wrong there? Some of the guys that are older are getting paid as if they're still in their primes, and so you're spending a lot of money on Amari Stoudemire, for example, and this is not someone who's going to win you games anytime soon.
Well, the other thing,
so
too, is there's just
a lot of factors have come together to make the East as bad as it is.
Well, that's so true. You know, you're talking about the poor management, the player movement, but just also the slew of injuries. I mean, the Bulls, you know, without Derrick Rose and the Nets, as you were highlighting earlier, about with Deron Williams and Paul Pierce, and of course, with the Knicks, with Chandler being out.
Yeah, and Tyson's huge for the Knicks. I don't think he's like a 15-win difference, which is kind of where Knicks fans thought they would be. But, you know, that's absolutely that. And then even in the East, when you talk about, and then Derrick Rose, that's huge. That takes Chicago from being a contender to being, I mean, they may
absolutely
make the playoffs, but they're certainly not contenders. And then you've got some like Milwaukee. You know, you've got a team that was almost good, starting to look good a couple years ago, and then they've made some moves that really hurt them. They've drafted, you know, they put a lot of faith in some guys they've drafted that really are not particularly good, and then Milwaukee's not a market that's going to attract a big-name free agent. So they had a lot of cap space this summer, and, you know, who'd they get? Caron Butler. You know, that's not exactly woohoo. You know, that's not the fault of John Hammond and his staff, the front office staff in Milwaukee. The drafting is their fault, but the fact that they maneuvered themselves to be players in free agency, and then you can't get a big-name player to go to a small market like Milwaukee, you know, that's not necessarily their fault either.
I quickly want to ask you, got to ask the guy with the Sooner ties. That, of course, is Terry Stotts. How about the Western Conference Coach of the Month? I mean, he has got his Blazers really rolling. 13 wins in the month and tied a franchise best. He had a four-game sweep on a road trip in the middle of November.
And just beat Indiana. So someone made a comment, I forget which national personality it was recently, made the comment that, oh, the Blazers haven't played anybody. Actually, their strength of schedule was quite high. It was third or fourth in the NBA when that comment was made, and now they've beaten Indiana. I mean, they just look fantastic.
That was a great game.
A team that did it the right way.
Yeah.
You had LaMarcus Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
You developed him into a superstar when Brandon Roy got hurt. He finally figured out that, hey, it's his team. He's very humble and was so anxious to defer to Brandon Roy that he didn't become the player that he is now until Brandon got hurt. Now that Brandon's out of the picture, he accepted that responsibility and became the superstar that he is now. Then you drafted, because you lost a lot of games with Greg Oden's injury and Brandon Roy's injury, you lost a lot of games, they draft their next superstar player in Damian Lillard. And now he looks like the superstar player. He showed it in his rookie year. He was amazing. He was hitting those big shots like we were talking about the Nets don't have. He's the player that's going to hit those game winners and make those eye-popping plays, and you have to have that guy. Then they developed Nicholas Batum, and you have to have a third guy. We talked about this with Houston, Chandler Parsons. You have to have a third guy who's going to make the big defensive play, who can give you 30 on a given night, though he's not going to average that, and there's your X factor. Then you've got supporting pieces. You've got great guys coming out. Mo Williams is a fantastic sixth man for them, not only because of what he does on the court, but because of the toughness and the winning mentality that he brings to the locker room.
Listen, it was a true pleasure having you on. We didn't get to even delve into Frank Vogel and the job he's doing with the Pacers, so we'll just invite you back, my friend, and I look forward to seeing you.
One of the most underrated coaches in the NBA.
Okay, and I guess one of the nicest ones and most positive ones, too, as I understand.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Listen, we'll talk to you real soon. Thanks, Bill. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure. You too.
You bet. Much more straight ahead this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.